and make it of no effect. What we are after is the agenda of God being accomplished. Nothing else matters. We want your will to be done. I thank you for faith coming as we hear your word. I thank you for healing being supplied. I thank you for doors being opened in the heart and mind. I thank you for reinforcement, Father, of our hearts and minds as we just receive the word of the Lord. And we just thank you for it, Father. Amen. Amen. Okay. Did we pray for Anu's mom and dad? I thought Linda did. I thought we did. Okay, but we can gladly, you know, I want to say, you know, even though we pray like this, on your way out, if you see Anoop, for example, just stand with him for a moment and say, just bless Anoop's dad and mom, okay? I've said this numerous times, and I'll continue to say it, both to myself and to every member who of our body who will listen. We're in the way here. You are the servant of God. That means much more than, you know, some nice thought to comfort yourself because you feel pretty bad about yourself most of the time. It means that God wants to do stuff through you. So you need to show up, as it were. You know, I heard somewhere, I don't remember where it was, for the works of God to be done, the miracles and the wonders, for the encouragements and the people being saved, oftentimes the problem is that a saint won't show up. I don't mean that they're not there, but they won't step up. They won't say, okay, use me. Use me. So I do, again, want every person to hear and understand, you are the servant of God. You are the servant of God. It's not like one day you will attain to some special thing and then you'll be able to be used by God. God's just waiting for you to say yes. Okay? So I don't dismiss as being trivial something like just putting your hand on a brother or sister as they go out the door and say, the Lord bless you. And let the Holy Spirit give to you through that. And much more can be accomplished than you might imagine. Okay? So please don't limit yourself. I encourage you to add to your conversation about yourself, what you say about yourself. And I am the servant of the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. I mean, I'm getting better and better and better, but the reality is I am His servant. And I want to see His will done. Yeah? Amen? Okay. We have a very short time, so we're just going to basically introduce this. We're talking about living in peace, because it's God's will that we dwell in peace. We are certainly understating what God wants when we talk about that word peace. It means much more than freedom from anxiety governing your life. But we are starting there at the very least. The idea of peace in the Old Testament certainly meant not just no worry and nothing bothering you, but it had this connotation of wholeness. I don't know who it is that described this, but one teacher described it as nothing broken, nothing missing in your life. That's the idea behind peace. And peace is the will of God for us. We're starting just at this lower level of how do we deal with anxiety? How do we deal with worry? Because the fact of the matter is, you can't be involved with anxiety or worry without you being involved with poison. Okay, now you might be somewhat tolerant to the poison, but the fact of the matter is, worry is never from God. It is always about something that may happen. It's always speculative, and it is always going to wreck your life. Okay, it might not result in a disaster immediately, but it sure is heading that way. So it's something to be dealt with. One of the things that we touched upon last time we said is you cannot be tolerant of anxiety and worry. Some of us, you know, we're used to this way of thinking about ourselves that even though we are born again, nothing really has changed. So, you know, I've always been a worrier. Number one, it's not true on many fronts. And even if it was true, when you were born again, the old things passed away. New things have come. You are not what you used to be. And you need to be willing to take God's attitude towards worry. He hates it. You cannot be tolerant of worry and anxiety and live in peace. Okay? So one of those things is that we have to decide. It is not normal. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen to us. But it is not normal for the saint to be worried. It really isn't. It is not normal for the one who has come to put their trust in Jesus to continue to be worried. It isn't normal. It may happen, but it isn't normal. And it's worth saying then, every place where I'm worried, that should raise a red flag for me. That should raise a red flag. Something is not right here. Something is not right about the way I'm thinking about this circumstance, reacting about this circumstance, the way I'm governing myself. Something is not right. Because worry is not normal for me. Okay? I would like you to actually say that out loud together with me. Because I think I'm talking to a group of people who have trusted in Jesus to be their Savior, so they are born again. So I'd like you to say, worry is not normal for me. Okay? Worry is not normal for me. It isn't. Okay? Let's say it again, just in case you didn't say it the first time, because you were, I don't know, pondering. Worry is not normal for me. Peace is. Peace is what is normal. We don't have to deny that there is, you know, a journey there, that there is a work of God that has to unfold there to take us from what has been normal to what really is normal. Fair enough. But let's start by declaring, it's not normal for me to worry about any circumstance. It isn't. Because at the heart of worry is, you're on your own on this. So what are you going to do? And at the heart of what we really are is, I will never leave you or forsake you, says the Lord. I will never leave you and forsake you. Way back at the beginning of this series, we recognized that worry, anxiety, is always a perception problem. You are more conscious of the problem than you are of God who is with you. Always that's the problem. Okay? So this morning, in the little bit of time that we have, I'm going to title this message, A Mind Stayed on Him, but it's really part one. So we'll have to say Mind Stayed on Him again next week. Okay? And so we're going to read two portions of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 26, and we're going to go also to Philippians. In fact, we'll start with Philippians. Unfortunately, I forgot my Bible, so I'm not sure how I'm going to manage this here. I've got more than one Bible program open, so hopefully. No, that's okay. That's okay. Then you need to use your Bible. Right on. Bring your Bible. Well, bring some form of reading. It doesn't have to be a physical book. But I must say, I do like that. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're going to read from Isaiah 26. Actually, let's start from Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. By any chance, does anybody have a King James Bible? King James, okay. This is one of the rare, I mean, I personally prefer other translations, but I often refer back to the King James. And I don't want to get into translational issues here. If you don't have a King James, it's not like you're somehow suffering. Despite there being many brethren who think you're nuts if you don't use the King James. Because Jesus spoke in King James. What's the matter with you? Okay? So, leaving that aside, the point is these translations often have a way of putting things that can shed light on what God was really saying. Remember, God did not speak in English when these were originally given. And we're dealing with all sorts of issues when it comes to translation and all that sort of stuff. And I will make this point, and Norman helped by reminding us of that passage from John where Jesus said, you search the scriptures thinking that in them you have life, but actually they speak of me. I am alive. I think sometimes we get too hung up on these translational issues. Remember, the Word of God is not some magical power. It is an instrument. It is a living instrument through which God brings you to know Him who is life. Okay? So, yes, there are translational challenges when we go back to the original sources and all that sort of stuff. Don't get too caught up in it. Hear what God is saying. Hear what God is saying. The reason I say all of that is there is a notable difference between how the King James puts what we're about to read and how, for example, the NASB or NIV says it. But underneath it is the same idea. Okay? So in the NASB, it says this in verse 3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Okay? Can you pop up the King James if you have it? Do we have actual King James on that translation? Hmm? That's New King James. That'll do if we don't have anything else. 26 verse 3. Sorry. Okay? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. In the NASB and the NIV and all that, the original language, if you go back to the literal, as I understand it, the emphasis here is a mind that is stayed. And if you're not careful, you might think, well, stayed on what? Just, you know, Zen. No, it's a mind stayed on God, a mind that is established on God, set on God, settled on God. That one, God will keep in perfect peace, okay, because he trusts in you. So one aspect of trusting God has to do with, what is your mind set on? Okay, we'll come back to that. Philippians chapter 3. Sorry, Philippians chapter 4. Start reading in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And when we have time to further develop this, I'm going to make the following connections. I contend that there is a connection between Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. He will keep in peace the one whose mind is stayed on God. And this passage that we just read here in Philippians chapter 4. Okay? A mind stayed on God is not a mind that has been brainwashed, that has been lobotomized and can't think anything but God. That's not what he's getting at. God made your mind. God invented you, in case you're not aware of that. God designed you and he gave you a mind. He gave you a brain. Not just a brain, but a mind. Okay, the brain and the mind aren't the same necessarily. But he gave you the ability to think and to consider and to choose and to decide. And so a mind stayed on him is, at the very least, a choice that involves your will. Okay? Again, we're getting at this whole perception problem. When we are filled with anxiety, or when worry is guiding our choices and governing us, the problem is you are more aware of the problem and its speculations than you are of God, who is faithful. Your mind is not set on God. You can't be worried and your mind set on God. Okay? So, if you're worried, that's a sign that maybe your mind is not as set on God as you would like to think you are. Because they don't go hand in hand. You cannot be full of worry and be full of the thought, God just likes me. He's going to help me whatever I have to deal with. Do you understand? Those two thoughts don't go hand in hand. Those two ideas don't go hand in hand. So, where I am worried, the problem is my mind is set on something else. An aspect of the problem is that my mind is set on something else. My mind is not stayed on him. So it's not being kept. The other thing I would like to emphasize is, when we talk about peace in this matter, I am not at all in any way, shape, or form wanting to set before you a set of techniques whereby your mind is insulated from worry. Because our peace is actually a person, not techniques. Right? Our peace is actually a person. Last week, again, we talked about the idea that in the world, peace is remove the trouble. It is the absence of something. But the scriptural idea of peace is the presence of someone who can take care of any situation that you face. Right? So, again, the problem with worry is, what's your mind filled with? What's your mind set on? And God wants us to cultivate a way of life where we are just, what's the right word? Besotted, enamored, caught up with, obsessed with, can't get enough of God. at how kind he is and how he likes me and loves me and puts up with me and despite all my weaknesses is helping me get past this. The more you are filled with the thought of how God loves you, there is no place for worry. The more you are filled with the thought, you know, this is something I can ask God about. He'll take care of it. You will find the peace of God guarding you. Sometimes when we talk about peace as Christians, it really does sometimes sound like, here's a set of techniques you can use to make sure you don't worry. And we miss the point. Okay? Even the circumstance that you are tempted to be so worried about is actually a setting for you to find out how much God loves you. It is some tool. I'm not saying that worry by any means or the circumstances by which we worry over are by any means what God wants to happen. But you know what? That place where you're anxious, is this going to work out for me or not, is a place where you can further encounter God who loves you, who likes you. That's the situation there. And so what we are in need of is salvation unfolding. Not we've come up with a new technique. Rather, Father, I am worried here. There's something about you I'm missing, and I want to see it. There's something about you that I want to see it. So I am going to, very deliberately, as well as I know how, just begin to think about you every time I worry. Every time I'm conscious about something, I'm going to say, yeah, but why is it that I think God won't help me here? Why is it that I think God won't help me here? Because God will. He absolutely will. He is kind and He is gracious and He is merciful. He is just always good to me. The last thing I'll say about this is that what God is setting before us is that the mind that is kept in peace is a mind that is stayed on Him. Okay? So that means we may have to change our thought about how we relate to God. So, if your way of relating to God is you have that 5, 10, 15, 3-hour devotion with God in the morning, and then the rest of the day is yours, then you are painting a picture of I come and visit God, and then I go back out again. I come and visit God, and then I get involved with my own life again. And you are missing the point. A mind stayed on Him involves dwelling with Him. Staying with Him. I'm not saying that every moment of your day, all you think about is God. But every moment of your day, it's not far for you to say, oh, I just thank you, Father, you're helping me with this experiment that doesn't seem to work. I just thank you, Father, that you're helping me with this problem that I'm having putting this thing together. I just thank you, Father, as you're washing the dishes. I just thank you, Father, that I have this house to live in. I'm just so thankful. It's never far away from you. Okay? I'm not saying every single time, hey, Warren, how are you doing? God is so good. Yeah, I agree. How are you doing? Oh, there's no problem with God. On the one hand, those are nice things to say, but on the other hand, there's an artificiality to that that betrays that your mind actually is not set on Him. You're being, if I could put it this way, brainwashed. There isn't a real, genuine relationship with God that's causing you to say, oh, you know what, I'm having a really rough day, but I'm just so thankful that God is with me. That's very different than, how are you doing? God is good. There is a genuineness to what God wants to do in you and through you that is unshakable, that it is so rich. You don't ever have to be ashamed to say, you know what, I'm having a hard day. This is really rough. What's carrying me, though, is that God is for me. I'm just learning to give myself even more to the truth. So, even though I'm not doing so well, I'm expecting to do really well. I'm expecting to do really well. Okay, I've said a number of things that I'll have to wrap up and tie together next week. But please, take these things away. If you're worried, that's a red flag. That should raise a red flag for you. There's something wrong in my thought about Him and my fellowship with Him that has made room for this worry. I am thinking God will not help me here. Why is that? What is at the root of that, Father? Please expose it for me, because that is a lie. I am letting a lie rule me here, Father, and I need you to deliver me. Right? Do you follow that reasoning? Any place you worry, something other than the truth is ruling you. And we call something other than the truth lies. Do you want to be ruled by a lie? I don't. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. So, let worry be a red flag. Oh, wait a second here. There is a thought I have about God that is a lie here. There is a thought about what God would do for me that is a lie here, and it's ruling me. Father, let me see it. And as for me, I will just start with what I have. I just thank you. You've always been good to me. I have things that I don't deserve because of your kindness. And you've rescued me from things that I should have had because of your mercy. And this is who you are to me, my Savior, my salvation, my Redeemer. I will bless the Lord. I want to end by going to Psalm 91, and we really will end. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his wings, his pinions. And under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness. Not your faithfulness. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Okay? No evil will befall you, nor plague will come near your tent, for he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. We could read the entire psalm, and I encourage you to do so, but I just want to set before you this. This is not a magic spell. This is not some special person who gets to be like this. This is instruction on how to stay your heart on him. Okay? If you are worried about the terror by night, what is that actually a sign of? You're not actually abiding, not dwelling with him. There is a place in your life that has room for something else. That's what has to be dealt with. How do you deal with it? Take this up. Say it. I say to you, Father, in the midst of my worry, I say, you are my refuge and my strength. You are my fortress. You are going to deliver me. I don't know how, but I do know that Jesus paid for this, and it is mine to be delivered. So I just want to say thank you before I get there. And I now, in that atmosphere of thankfulness, I say, Father, please take care of this in Jesus' name. Okay? We'll continue from here next Sunday. Could you please help part the tables, bring out... Oh, how are we going to do this, guys? We'll have to move all this stuff. Okay, so the worship team will move all their stuff.